We have a New Year's theme this morning, and so we're looking at Ecclesiastes this morning. Ecclesiastes 1 through 11, and then a couple other verses a little bit further in the book of Ecclesiastes. So it's page 662 in your pew Bibles. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again, what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago, it was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. And then chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? And then as well to Ecclesiastes 12. I'll read the first verse and the 13th. So the first verse. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And then verse 13 as well. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And that's as far as we'll read this morning from God's word. People of God, New Year's is often a time when we look back over the year that was. And all the things that happened, and we got some of a recap this morning of that. If you listen to the news, they'll have all those same kinds of things. They'll tell you who died and so forth. And it's funny, as you look back at the year, sometimes you get a real sense that this has all happened before. You know, there's wars in Syria. Well, there's been wars in Syria before, and unrest in Palestine, and yet there's been unrest, there's been wars, it's been happening since time immemorial. Famous people died, yeah, happens every year. Some of them die at a young age, tragically, happens every year. Happens all the time. Fires, earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanoes, whatever happened. Car accidents. All happened before. Happens again. There's nothing new under the sun. Changes in government? Regular part of life. Has been for thousands of years. You know, they call it the news, but maybe they should just call it the olds instead. Because it seems like it's all happened before. The names are changed to protect the innocent or the guilty. But it's all happened before. And you get that same feeling from this passage in Ecclesiastes. I mean, he talks about how it's happened all before. Again, you know, the water runs into the sea and it comes back. And oh, yeah. And it's just happened all before. How does it say that? The sun rises and the sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the north and the south. It's just all happened before. And even in our own lives, sometimes there are significant things that happen. Maybe you get in a new relationship, or you get married, or you have a child, or someone close to you gets sick, or someone dies. And it's big news for you. And it, or you get married, or whatever. It's big news for you. But even then, you're doing things that people have been doing for generations. You know, somebody gets born. Well, I was born. My parents were born. My grandparents were born. Sure, all of you had that. You know? You wouldn't be around if your parents or grandparents weren't born. This has been happening for generations. People dying. People getting married. The cycle of life, the rhythms of life going on. I remember in the one church I served, it was uncanny how many times it happened. The child was born in the same week that we had the funeral of an elderly person. A sense of the rhythms of life that just go on. And even in your own life, you know, stop and say, oh, what's new with you this week? Ah, yeah. Same old, same old. Our life just goes on in the rhythms of life. Sometimes it seems that nothing changes. And the writer of Ecclesiastes kind of gives you that feeling. Man, especially in this first part. There's nothing new under the sun. He sounds like a rather depressing fellow, actually. Well, it's all happened before. And, you know, as you look back over New Year or the year that's passed, you might say, you know, this has all happened before. Nothing new under the sun. Basically, more of the same. Life, repetitive and meaningless. I mean, that's what he calls it too here. He says that it is meaningless. But is it? What's our worldview? One of the worldviews you sometimes run across is Hinduism. And Hinduism says that all of life is just a big spiral, cyclical. Life is repetitive and meaningless. And the ultimate goal of a human is to meld into the form of the universe and the basic matter of the universe. And it's kind of a depressing sort of a thing. Even lifetimes, yeah, you know, they have reincarnation and all that kind of idea. The best you can hope for is annihilation of your personhood and melting into the impersonal universe. Now, what a discouraging thing. But for Christianity, it's different. Yeah, there's some of this repetitive stuff. We saw that, and I'll speak more about that later. But for Christianity, though a lot of things repeat, there's an end in sight. There's a goal that things are moving toward. History does often repeat itself. And especially you get that feeling from Ecclesiastes. There is also a sense in which history is moving from creation, fall, redemption, to the end of time. Creation to new creation, fall to redemption, Jesus' first coming, Jesus' second coming. And even in our own lives, you start with, you know, character, and you go through all the events of your life, and you learn about Christ, and you grow in Him. Even in our own personal lives, we move from here to here. There is movement in our lives. In the church, there is a movement from some scared group of disciples in the upper room to the gospel being spread to the ends of the world, to every tribe and language and nation. The world is moving toward a final battle between good and evil, where good will triumph. And for pilgrims, for Christians, we're pilgrims in search of a city. And in our own lives, there is purpose. There is meaning. We're being prepared for life eternal with Christ. We're living that life eternal now already. And we're being shaped. The events of our lives shape us and mold us. We are moving from here to here. It's not just cyclical. And then you have the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. And it says it is cyclical. It seems to go in circles. And sometimes we feel that. Do you ever feel that? Oh, man, I'm just doing what I did before. What's new? Oh, same old, same old. There is a lot of things that we just do again and again and again. Yeah, the eye never has enough of seeing, the ear enough of hearing. And it sounds like it's meaningless. But then we have that verse that I read this morning. There's nothing better than that a man should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. Interesting. Eating and drinking are rather repetitive things. We do them, I do them 3 times a day or more. And it's very repetitive, so it must be meaningless then, right? Just try doing without it, though, for a day. And you understand that it's not meaningless. We eat and drink, and we need to. There are repetitive rut that we're in, but we wouldn't last too long if we didn't keep eating and drinking. And it's the same with work. Kind of a rut we're in. You do it, but if you don't do it, you'd starve. Or, well, I suppose in this country, they'd look after you, but we do work, and we do it again and again. It's not a meaningless rut, but it is something we do again and again. And we find enjoyment in our work, and enjoyment in our eating and drinking. Didn't you just find enjoyment in your eating and drinking this season? Yeah, you did. Christmas is a good season. Which stirs in me the reminder that there are a lot of things that we do again and again and again that are not meaningless. They may be repetitive. They're hardly new. People have been doing them for thousands of years. But yet they have meaning. We eat and drink. We toil. And more than that, we do the things that God made us to do. Some people will do new things. They will go, boldly go where no man has gone before. Map the human genome, whatever. But most of our activities, other people have done before, and they will do again. And a lot of the things that we do are very meaningful. I'm raising some children. People have been raising children for generations. It's a very meaningful thing to do. Raising up a godly generation. As a matter of fact, the fact that my parents did it, and my grandparents and my great-grandparents, gives it even more meaning for me. I think of the heritage passed on from generation to generation, and some of the things I'm trying to teach my kids that my parents taught me, and now I see them teaching their kids, and it's kind of neat to watch that again. Through the generations. Repetitive. Yes. Meaningless. No. It gives me joy to see history repeating itself. Now, it gives me pause, too, sometimes. Sometimes the things I do, I see my kids doing it, so I'm like, oh, no. You know that. Or, even worse, when you see your grandchildren doing it. It's sort of like, oh, man, this is getting passed on. This is not a good thing. New Year's, it's a good time to think about resolutions to change. But fortunately, history doesn't always repeat itself. And we can resist passing on bad habits. The good doesn't automatically repeat itself either. So we have to make an effort to do that, to teach our children the things that we learned, the good things, to start new habits that are good. We must work and pray that our children will follow the Lord. And New Year's is a good time to think about those things. To think about, what am I doing to teach my children? What am I doing to teach others? What kind of ruts am I in? And what ruts are good? Perhaps as we look back on this year, we see much of it that has passed in ways that are familiar and repetitive. The new year might hold the promise of being fairly
much the same. We're in a rut, right? Is that bad? Well, it could be and it might not be. Let me tell you about ruts. This is from someone who lived in South Dakota on a dirt road. Our first church was out in the middle of nowhere, on a dirt road, literally. The nearest gravel road was a mile. And the day after we moved in, it rained, like a lot. And one of the principal elders of the church had invited us for coffee. So we went out on the road in our two-wheel drive car, and there's some big ruts there, and we want to stay out of those ruts. And we slipped and slid and eventually ended up in the ruts anyways. And somehow got to his place. Then he says, we told him about it, and he says, oh, you need to stay in the ruts. I thought, oh, okay. So when we drove back home, we stayed in the ruts, and that worked much better, to just stay in the ruts instead of trying to avoid them. And eventually we got a vehicle that had higher clearance. But I thought about that. Sometimes those ruts take you where you want to go. If you read about the pioneers, they knew about this too. They were going across a prairie and there's nothing to see there, just grass. But there were these ruts and you follow them. And I remember in that same congregation, the one rancher took me out to his field and he says, here's some ruts. You know, this is the Rosebud Trail. And if you're going from Valentine to Rosebud, this was the path you took. And they were still there 50 years later. Good ruts. Ruts that take you to where you want to go. That can be a neat picture for the Christian life, too. We may be traveling a well-worn path, and sometimes you feel like it's ruts. But if those ruts are going where you want to go, that's a good thing. Now, those pioneers also found that they were heading off on these ruts, and sometimes two tracks went this way and two tracks went this way. You had to figure out which way you needed to go. Now, previous pioneers had told them, oh, you need to take the right fork here or whatever. But if you didn't take the right fork, you'd end up not where you were planning to go. As you think about the ruts you want to get in for this coming year, you got to make sure they're the right ruts. You know? You got to make sure the habits that you get in for this coming year are good habits. You know, maybe a new commitment to reading the Bible, a new commitment to prayer, a new commitment to, if you have children, teaching them, a new commitment to serve in some way. A godly rut, a godly tradition, a godly heritage to get into, a new commitment to visit certain people. A new commitment to seek the Lord and to pray. And in connection with that, we need to ask, what are we doing? Okay, we're repeating and we're doing this again and again. Is this meaningful? Because the writer of Ecclesiastes was right. It might be meaningless, some of the things we do. What brings meaning to life? Eating, drinking, enjoying your toil. Doing the things that God has called you to do and meant for you to do. God has callings for each one of us, and we need to do those. To enjoy God and His gifts is part of that. We're starting a new year this week, and I've always enjoyed New Year's. A time to think through what went right this past year, how God blessed me this past year, what things happened, to wonder what's going to happen in the future, but also to go boldly into the future in His hands, but also to think about where I want to go. Where does God want me to go? What is God calling me to? To choose the ruts that I go in, to choose the work, to do the work that He has called me to do. Life is not meaningless, friends.
We are moving toward a goal, the upward call of the kingdom of heaven. And we must fix our eyes on that goal, realizing that many of the paths that we take to that goal are ones that others have trod before us. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we thank you that you have called us to a life of godliness, called us to various ministries, called us to love you and to know you and to enjoy you, and to enjoy food and drink and work and the various things you've called us to. Help us to enjoy them. And help us to find meaning in you and in your call to us. Father, be with us in this new year. Help us to go boldly into it, but help us to go as well eagerly into it, eager to follow you and to serve you and to receive your grace. In Christ's name, amen.